Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. You all know the story of Elijah. All the stories of Elijah, especially Elijah on Mount Carmel. When you're talking culture, and we have a bunch of different cultures that all merge together where we live. And so we can't just learn one culture. We have to know the culture of the drug lords. We have to know the culture of the city, Latin people that are there. We have to know the culture of the country, Latin people. Then we have to know the culture of the Kekchi people. And we have to know the culture of the gorillas. And it all kind of merges and meshes together. And so you have to know your audience and what they're looking for as their burden. Every culture has its own burden that you're looking for relief from. In the States, our burden is guilt. We're looking for relief from our guilt. We feel a strong guilt, and that's what God gives us freedom from. In the Latin culture, it's shame. They don't care about guilt because everybody does bad things, but they don't want to be publicly shamed. And so Jesus takes away their shame, and that's the message you bring when you bring your messages of Christ and the freedom he brings. When you're looking at the Kekchi people with the animism, their burden is fear. They are afraid of powers. They are afraid of these things that can hurt them. And they have this animistic view that is so close to the Old Testament, almost exactly like the Israelites and the things that they struggle with. And so we read here with the Israelites, and you know about Ahab, you know how he got the prophets together, and so Elijah is addressing everybody. The prophets of Baal are assembled, all the people are assembled, and Elijah says, let's have a contest. And so here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, we're going to start the story. 1 Kings 18, verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord's, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood and put no fire under. I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. Call ye on the name of your gods. I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now when I read the Old Testament, I read Kekchi people. And all the Kekchi people said, yeah, that's a great idea. I can just imagine. All the Kekchi Indians gathered around. And if I got some of the witch doctors, next to our institute is a village that won't let churches come in. And they have 16 witches in their village, and so they're very against. It's just, I don't know why we find conflict. The gorillas hate us. The Kekchi village next door hates us. There's always this conflict wherever we're working. And maybe it's us, but there's such a. It's amazing to feel the darkness and the spiritual pressure when you cross over to that village, and you can feel that Satan has it under control. But as you're there, I can imagine going over to that village and saying, "Okay, well, let's build altars." And you guys, you 16 witches, you kill your bullock, and I'll kill my bullock over here, and we'll build our altar, and we'll just see which god sends fire. The Kekchi people, they would be all about, yeah, let's see this. They're ready for a show. It doesn't take much for a bunch of Kekchi people to get together and ready to lynch somebody and light them on fire, and they get excited about things, especially as a community. And so they would love to see this go on. And so I can just imagine everybody gathered around to see it. Let's skip down to verse 29. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. That's Baal, the prophets of Baal. Nobody answered. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as it contained two measures of seed. He put wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Verse 36, and it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Elijah said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, our people are always wondering, and when they say, Jimmy, can you come to our village and tell us more about this God? And like Shelley said, it's not about we want to accept Christ. It's not about we're ready to turn aside. This is an actual Mayan god. It's not that they're ready to lay aside these gods. It's they want to have God in their pocket. They want to have Jimmy's God, because maybe somebody has diabetes in their village and this god couldn't cure them of diabetes, but maybe Jimmy's God can. So let's have him come pray and see what happens with them. And even when somebody accepts God or they say they accept Christ, you have to watch for it, because as soon as something happens and Jimmy goes and prays for somebody and they don't get better, then they run to the witch doctor and say, well, Jimmy's God wasn't big enough now. Let's go back to you. And so there's this syncretism, and there's this fear in their religion. Everything has a spirit. And so they have these Mayan gods, and there's the sun is a god, and the moon is a god, and the earth is a god. But the sun and the moon, those are up in the sky, and they're too far away to affect us, so all that really matters is the earth god. So you have to be careful when you say our God is in heaven. Because, okay, good, he's not that close. And so the earth god is a big deal. You have to ask his permission before you poke holes in his back and plant your corn. And then you have all these spirits. Remember, they're afraid of, they have this fear. And everything has a spirit. Wood has a spirit. Your hammock has a spirit. If you're sitting in your hammock and you're thinking about a woman other than your wife, the spirit of the hammock will dump you out of it. And so you don't want to be clumsy and sit in a Guatemalan hammock. You got to be careful. Your machete has a spirit. And they believe everything is spiritual. Nothing has a physical reason for anything. You're sick because you offended some spirit. If you're out cutting your corn or cutting weeds and you cut yourself with your machete, it's not because you're clumsy with a machete. It's because you didn't feed your machete enough soup that morning and your machete was hungry and needed to eat. Now, when you build a bridge, the trees have a spirit and the river has a spirit. And so when you combine those two, that's really bad. And so the bridge is going to want to eat. And if you don't feed it, a bridge requires a child. And if you don't feed it somebody's child, you have to bury it at the base of that bridge, then one of your kids is going to fall off and die in the river, and that's because the bridge was hungry and it made them fall off. And so they go to another village, a few villages away, and they grab somebody else's kid and they bring it back and they bury it at the base of that bridge because of their fear. A rich Kekchi person can provide an egg for every member of his family once a day and meat once a week. Meat is a very generic term when I say meat. Some sort of meat once a week. But if you kill a steer or a heifer, you kill a chicken, you kill a big 25-pound jungle rodent, you can't eat that. The whole thing's not yours. Half of it has to be buried by the mountain so that the mountain can eat. Because if not, something's going to happen. One of your kids is going to get sick and die, and the mountain's going to eat them because you weren't sharing. And there's oppressive fear. And so when we go in and we talk about this stuff, the Bible is the perfect. I don't need signs. I don't need tongues. I don't need to heal people. Because we have the Bible. The Bible has all the stories of God already proving himself bigger than all the other gods. And so you read this passage of Elijah, when God is bigger than the mountain god, bigger than the god of fire. And you talk about that, and then you say, just like Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word, because they knew. The people knew that they were keeping God in their back pocket. In the States, we turn that around. And so we don't have our little gods here that we carry around with us. But we do have things we rely on. We have our bank accounts that we rely on, because I'm okay, I'm financially secure. Or we have our family that we rely on. As long as I have my family, then I'm okay. We have our church. I go to church, and so I'm good with God. We can fall back on that. We can take good things. We have our doctor. If we get sick, we go to the doctor first, and then if the doctor gives us a bad prognosis, then we come in and have our prayer requests. God, please help us. And so we have these things that we set up as our gods, and so we're a lot more sophisticated about it, but we still carry them around. And so the question I have for you is the same I have for the Kekchi people. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God is God, then follow him. And if you want the other stuff, then just go after that. Why are you wasting your time in church if you're not going to follow God? And so let's go to the New Testament to see what Jesus says to us in Matthew 4. Because I wanted to see, what does it mean to follow God? What does Jesus say about following him? Matthew 4, chapter 18. and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. The first time Jesus says, follow me, he does it in the context of follow me, and you're going to reach people. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. His first four disciples, follow me, follow me. If you believe I'm God, then follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so we see that following God means reaching out. Now this church does an awesome job of sending out missionaries as far as support. We've received nothing but awesome support from this church. I can testify to that. But you individually, how are you doing with fishing for men? As a missionary, well, I hear lots of sermons. I've heard lots of sermons. I grew up in church. I was saved almost 26 years ago in this church. And my whole life has been in church. And I hear the sermons about delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then nobody wants to say that you're going to get everything you want if you delight yourself in God. And so they kind of turn that and say, well, if you delight yourself in God, then his desires become your desires, and then you get those desires because you're delighting in him. And it gets a little confusing. But what I've seen in Guatemala, what I've seen with the mission teams that come in and visit us, what I've seen with people in churches that we've met, what I've seen in my own life, is that God has made every one of us to be fishers of men. And God has given every one of us, in Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and sanctified thee a prophet unto the nations. Before you were born, God had a job for you. And he has that job for you so that you'll follow him. And if you follow him, you're going to use the things that he's already put into your life, the way he's created you, to reach people. When I was a teenager in Kansas, I loved to go mudding in cow pastures. Now I get to go mudding in Guatemala to get to villages. I love teaching, and I could teach in the States, I could teach in Guatemala. I love languages, and I get to learn too in Guatemala. My grandparents had a huge farm. My grandma offered me the farm to not be a missionary, because why are you going to go all the way down there? It's like, man, I'd love to be a farmer. And I have a 180-acre farm. I get to have crops and chickens and fish and the whole thing, and we're using it in Guatemala. God made me to have these different desires, and you know, I'm delighting myself in God, and I get all the desires of my heart. Not because I was looking for the desires of my heart, but because I was following God and trying to reach people. And what I would encourage you is if you have these idols, just put them away. Get rid of them. When the Kekchi people accept Christ, we don't have altar calls where they come forward and accept Christ. They don't go pray in a corner with the pastor. They actually ask us to come back and have a salvation service. And they say, I want to accept Christ, but can you come back next month on this Tuesday night, and I'm going to have a big party. And they invite the whole village to come, and they get saved in front of everybody. And we lay hands on them, and we pray together as they pray to accept Christ. And they do that so the whole village can see that they're saying, I'm not going to follow the little gods anymore. I'm going to follow the big God. And after the salvation service, they take all their little gods, all their idols out in the front yard, and they burn them in front of everybody. The witch doctors don't like that very much. But they take them all out. They're not going to sell them. They're not going to give it away to somebody else. They're going to burn them because they're showing that they're never going back to these. They're going to follow the big God now. The Kekchi are some of the best soul winners. When we get a mission in a church, it does not take long to fill that place up. We've put roofs on buildings. And like I said, those 38 villages, or 36, I don't know, 36, 38 villages we visited. But 16 missions. Not because I'm a great church planner, but because people got saved and they started reproducing. They started following the big God instead of the little God. And it just starts happening. And they reach their neighbors and everything starts multiplying. You might not get to be on the front lines like we do. I wish you would come and help us and be there and see it. I think we have the best job in the world. But wherever you're at, if you would delight yourself in God, if you would choose to follow the big God and forget the little things, the little distractions, and you follow God, then you're going to get to see some amazing things. You'll have an amazing testimony of your own, and God will give you all the desires of your heart. That's my sermon. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Densmores, and thank you for your protecting of their lives, their family through these years, your faithfulness, Lord, in providing for them, Lord. And I ask that you'll continue to protect them as they travel. I pray, Father, that you'll open doors in churches here in the United States, Lord, that may be cold or indifferent or apathetic, as some of us here tonight are, no doubt, that they could hear this same message, be encouraged and strengthened here in the States, to put away from ourselves our idols. And then I also pray that these churches would open their hearts, be set on fire to help support them, and continue to bless and be a means to continue the work down there. Protect them, Lord. Father, thank you for all that we've heard tonight, and I pray we'll continue to pray for the Densmores. In Jesus' precious name, amen.